Living Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, your goodness, your love, your grace, your mercy. Help us, Lord, to respond to that as conduits of goodness, love, mercy, and faithfulness for your honor, glory, and kingdom. We pray in these next few moments, as your written word is proclaimed and your living word is here, stir our hearts to respond to you, to leave this place as transformed disciples who know you, walk with you, and join you on mission. We love you so much, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Scripture this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the man with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given more, and they will have an abundance, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here ends the reading. I feel really good now. How about you? Goosebumps of joy. This is a difficult passage as we step into the middle of a time where Jesus is proclaiming what the kingdom of God is like. He's proclaiming the goodness and the power and the movement and the momentum and the action of the kingdom of God through stories. And he begins to tell another story that isn't so exciting at first. In fact, it pulls the reader in, leaving them wondering, did Jesus really mean to be this difficult? Did he mean to be this severe? Couldn't he have just toned it down a little? You know, this isn't very seeker sensitive. As Jesus tells a story of 3 men with a master, and each of them are entrusted with a large amount of money. Even the one with 1 bag of gold is considered to be 15 years worth of wages. Imagine that. And so the master goes and entrusts them with these bags of gold, and the one who was given 5 goes and he returns back with 5 more for a total of 10 bags, and he comes to the master and he says, look, master, look what I have done with what you have given me. And the master responds, well done, good and faithful servant. And the second one who was given 2 comes back with 2 more for a total of 4, so 4 years worth of wages times 15. For those of you who are paying attention to math. And he comes back and he says, look what I have returned. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. But then there's another one that at first we feel sorry for. We might even feel compassionate for him. We might even wonder, why was he just entrusted with one bag while the other was entrusted with five and another was entrusted with two and now this one just one? Why was the master so generous with the one with five and the one with two and yet this one just received one and he took what was entrusted to him? And I imagine a sweet man looking at this bag of gold with pride and with love, admiring it and taking it away and being so afraid of losing it, so fearful that he is paralyzed with fear. And he takes what God has given to him and or what the master has given to him, and he goes and he digs a hole and he buries it. And when he brings it back to the master, we see that the master is not happy with what he has done. He is delighted with the ones that came back and were able to double. In fact, he is so angry that he says, send them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he gives that one bag of gold to the one that already has 10. An interesting story. On one hand, we see the generosity of the master. And on the other hand, we see the fearful inactivity of the one who is given little, and it leads us to feel slightly sympathetic for the one who buries that treasure. And to everyone's surprise, the man who hides the money is condemned. The parable then, this story we know, as we said, is placed within the context of the kingdom of God. Jesus says this is what the kingdom of God likes. So when we place it then within the context of the kingdom of God, we are left with an understanding that we must decide how we will use what God gives to us. How we will use the things that God blesses us with, how we will use the thing that God entrusts us with until the fullness of the kingdom comes. And each servant in this story is asked to be faithful. Each servant in this story is asked to be creative. Each servant in this story is asked to steward what God has given to them. And Jesus is alarmingly, severely, uncomfortably clear. And that is what the servants did with what God or the master had entrusted to them brought a direct correlation to the master's response to them. He gets angry with those who either out of fear or empathy or whatever it is, refuse to invest it and keep it themselves. And he honors those who are conduits, open-handed, brave, and surrendered. And so then we get an image then of two very different types of people, which I think are two different types of people that exist within the kingdom of God or the people of God or the bride of Christ today. And that is either a person who is a conduit with the blessings that God has given them or a storehouse. A conduit or a storehouse. You see, at the heart of the Christian life is a word called stewardship, which in a lot of ways is a Christianese term that we have heard throughout the years in church, but we have been given tremendous blessings and gifts as the body of Christ and even as individuals. We have been given the gift of the gospel that is the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the fulfillment of all the promises. We have been given the gift of the faithfulness of God, the grace and the compassion and the love and gifts and fruits of the Spirit and the gift of one another. And we are faced with how will we steward? How will we use? How will we be conduits and mediators, if you will, of what God has given us? Will we be conduit people who take the gifts that God has given us and wisely use them open-handedly, fully surrendered for the future and the mission of the kingdom of God? Or will we bury them? Will we be conduits or storehouse people. You see, in our home is a corner hutch, which to my boys might as well as be a treasure box. You see, when they were really little, like 18 months or 2 years old, about once a week they would pull up a stool to the corner hutch and they would say, "Mommy, Daddy, can we see your pretties? Can we see your treasures?" Because inside of that corner hutch is a lot of beautiful wedding gifts that Jeff and I received from Waterford Crystals, and then to little trinkets that were my grandma's or my great-grandma's, and my boys would love to hold some of those crystals up next to the sun piercing through the window, and they would love to see all the sparkles move around the room and in the ceiling. And there is memories from baptisms, from weddings, from grandmas and family members. But you know, we only think about that chest. We only think about that corner hutch when we pull it out. And now that my boys are older, they rarely even ask to see it. And so it's probably just a couple of times a year when we go in there to actually dust, do we remember those beautiful treasures. And in the same way, we have been given many treasures, and we are asked, will we store them in our treasure boxes and only pull out these treasures once or twice a year? Will we bury them and only admire some of the gifts, which is easy to do? We've been given many blessings, and we at times, however, only pull them out once, twice, a year or less, and we bury them yet again. And Jesus declares that the kingdom of God is the one who takes the blessings open-handedly as conduits. And so then, what are the marks of a storehouse person versus a conduit person? I think there are a few different traits or a few different marks of a person who is a storehouse person who buries the treasures that God has given us. And that is, first of all, we hoard those blessings. We look at the many blessings of God, whether it be resources, material resources, financial resources, even spiritual gifts and talents that God has placed in our lives, and even our time and calendar, and we hoard them, and we get frustrated when other people mess with it, when other people get in the way of our blessings, because these are ours. We play it safe. We look at all the treasures and blessings and goodness that God has given us. And we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to lose any precious sleep over it. We don't want to be pushed. We don't want to be pulled outside of our comfort zone. So we take all the goodness that God has given us and we order in a way that makes us comfortable. And so it's anything but generosity. Another mark of a treasure box or storehouse person is that they lead stagnant lives. When we look at the new story of the New Testament, we see the early church as one that is momentous, that is on the move, that is almost always looking around to seeing, how can we serve? How can we be transformed? How can we use the goodness? How can we use the blessings that God has given us and be like a flowing river of blessing? But those who are storehouse people, they look at the blessings and they are never able to grow them or use them or steward them because instead they bury them. They are also known to be consumers. These are the ones that come to church week after week after week. Perhaps they are known to be the church shoppers that even church shop when something goes wrong, when something gets difficult, when something is said that doesn't go their way, when a program is changed, when things are flipped, they say, "I'm out because it's not meeting my needs." Consumers. We stand on the sidelines week after week and we consume. But when it comes to actually stewarding and participating in the mission of God in Christ, we just stand on the sidelines. The next and final mark that we'll point out this morning is that they tend to be ungrateful. Even with all of the rich and wonderful blessings that God has given them, it never seems to be enough. They find themselves always thirsting for more, longing for more. And the more they receive, the more that they bury, the more that they hide, the more that they close their fists and close their hands, the more that they protect, the more that they get frustrated when they are interrupted or their schedule is interrupted. They are ungrateful, for it's never enough. But then, on the other hand, in the New Testament and in the church today, we see people that are totally opposite. And it is those who are conduits that see the goodness and the blessing of God, and instead of bearing, instead of being ungrateful, instead of being fearful, instead of being paralyzed by fear, instead of hoarding, they are instead seen as generous. Because they see the blessings that God has given them, whether it be their time, their talents, their treasures, and they look at it and they say, it was never mine to begin with, it was always God's. Everything that is good in my life comes from the Lord. How good and wonderful are the gifts from the Lord. And this is to be used not for me, for my gain, but for God's gain, for the mission of God in Christ. And so they take a look at everything in their lives, whether it be their calendar, whether it be financial resources, whether it be material resources, whether it be their lives, and they say, how can I use this for the glory of God's kingdom? They also are known to be people who are involved. These are the ones who aren't on the sidelines, but they look at their lives and they say, you know, I have the gift to teach. And so how can I use my gift of teaching for the kingdom of God, for the mission of God in Christ? Or they say, you know what? I have the gift of baking the best cookies in the world. And so if I can do anything, maybe I can bake cookies for people at church in the park every single Sunday. Or maybe I can begin to bless my neighborhood and bless my neighbors with the world's greatest baked cookies and show them the love of Jesus. They come to church and they look at all of the ministries and all the places that they can serve. And they say, you know, here's my gifts. It may not be much, but I know that I'm called to participate in this mission. And so I'm going to get involved in whatever way that I can. They are also people that are open with everything. Open to new ideas, open to the newness of the Spirit, open to new leadings, open to using their gifts, and open to the Spirit having His way in their lives. You see, we can either be storehouse people or we can be conduit people. We can play it safe. We can live stagnant lives. We can be ungrateful, or we can be generous, involved, open with our time. We can be joyful and faithful with the many blessings that God has given us. And some of the greatest things that break these conduits, that break these flows of generosity, that break these flows of surrender to the Lord are fear, apathy, greed, sin, busyness, and misaligned priorities. And you see, the amazing thing that we see in the New Testament scripture is that where the Spirit of the Lord is and where the people are responding, there is a freedom of people saying, have your way, Lord, of generous lives. In fact, if we were to take a glimpse into the family room of the early church, we would see the people of God almost with their heads just always looking, seeing, who can I bless? Who can I serve? Who can I use my time for? Who can I mentor? Who can I speak truth in their life? Who can I lead? Who can I give to? It's no wonder then in Acts chapter 2 that it says in verse 34 that there were no needy persons among them. It's because the church, the early church, was living lives as conduits. Lord, I look at the pie of my life and I see that this is yours. So have your way in it. And it's no wonder, because the early church was fully aware of the grace of God in their life. They were fully aware of the God who came, laid down his life, offered grace and love and compassion. They were fully aware of the fulfillment of promises that began with Noah, then with Abraham, then with Moses, then with David, and on. It's exactly as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He says, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." Exactly as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, when he says that though he was God, he did not consider equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus was nothing less than a conduit of love and grace and mercy and blessing for all of us. And this, my dears, is the good news of the gospel. It is the heart of the gospel. Amen. That the righteous wealth of God came to the poor, that while we were still yet sinners, he laid down his life for us. While we were poor, broken, sinful, wanderers, misfits, and fallen. And yet he generously came to us and laid down his life. And then it is totally through this generous grace of God that you and I then are enabled and empowered to be conduits of blessing. And if we're not a conduit of blessing, then I must ask, who or what are we worshiping? If we're not a conduit of blessing and generosity and stewarding what God has given us, then who or what are we following? Who or what is leading us? Because a church that is a conduit of blessing, that is looking at everything that God has given them and says, how can we use this for your kingdom, for your mission, and your glory? Because here at First Church of the Nazarene of Pasadena, we have been given much, haven't we? You see, we have been given the gift of the gospel. The good news of the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the gift of the Holy Spirit in the church. And how are we, as the people of God, going to steward this good news and share it to the world? How are we going to steward all the blessings to get this message out to the rest of the world? We, too, have been given the gift of life in our bodies. We have mouths. We have lungs. We have eyes. We have ears. We have hands. We have feet. How are you using your life as an act of worship, as it says in Romans 12? How are you using your life to mentor someone? How are you using your wisdom to lead someone? How are you using your mouth to proclaim the goodness of the gospel and to honor and praise God? How are you stewarding your own body and life? We have been here even given the gift collectively of a building. And a magnificent building and campus. This is in a magnificent building and campus. It is at Valley Center. And we are constantly asking as a staff and as a board, Lord, we recognize that this space is an incredible gift. So how can we not, out of fear, bury it? But instead, how can we steward these spaces? How can we steward each and every room? How can we think creatively? How can we use each space for the mission of God in Christ in this world? And what can we do differently? And how can we continue to think outside of the box? We too have been given the gift of a staff. and an incredible staff. Pastors who faithfully come week after week, who pour out their lives, their talents, their treasures even, who wake up at the break of dawn, who go to sleep late at night with their eyes burning from exhaustion, and yet many of them, all of them, do it out of the joy. And how are we stewarding that? How are we using our gifts? How are you using your gifts to encourage them? How are you using your time to love them, to thank them? How are you using what God has given you to bless them as they bless this congregation in so many ways? And we are also asking as a staff board, how can we continue to use this staff creatively as good stewards and faithfully to participate and join Christ on mission? And I can't wait to tell you tonight some of those ways. We also collectively have been given the gift of finances. Each and every one of us, if you are wearing clothes, you have something. Whether it be responding like the widow's mite, who can only put a couple of coins there in the plate, God is asking us to live radically generous lives with our finances. For some of us, generosity might be beyond 10%. For some of us, generosity might be less than 10%. How are you listening to the Spirit? How are you responding to the Spirit? And how are you faithfully responding to the many, many financial blessings that God has given you? And are you using your finances for the sake of the mission of God in Christ? We have also been given the gift of locations, and now I'm not just talking about 3700 East Sierra Madre Boulevard, but now I am talking about your location, the gift of location of the places you shop even, the gift of locations of your home and your kitchen table, the gift of locations of your neighborhood and your workplaces. And how are you stewarding all of those tremendous blessings of the places you work and your home and flinging open the doors of hospitality and asking the question, how can we use our kitchen table to bless our neighbors? How can we use our kitchen to bless our neighbors with cookies? Whatever it might be, that's up to you listening to the Spirit. But how are you using the gift of your address with a deep theology of location and saying, Lord, this house is yours. This house is yours to bless the nations and to be a light. How can I use it for your kingdom and for your glory? We have also been given the gift of programs here at PASNAS, haven't we? We have many different wonderful programs where people from many different walks of life can come and hear about the goodness and the healing power of Jesus. People that are down on their luck, people that are grieving, people that are lost, students that are just looking for community, students that are just looking for hope, young minds that are coming into this place and hearing the word of God proclaimed for the very first time with fresh ears like sponges. And how are all of us who sit here week after week using our gifts, our talents, and our time to participate in some of those programs and ministries? How are we using our energy to join Christ on mission in our local and global neighborhoods? We have been given the blessings of gifts. Some of you in this room have gifts to teach. Some of you even might even have the gift to preach, to prophesy, to evangelize as apostles. Whatever it might be, what are the gifts that God has been giving you, and are you using it to further the mission in this world? Are you using it to join Christ on mission? Are you looking at all of the many talents that God has given you? And are you hiding them for fear of being uncomfortable? Are you burying them? Or are you looking at the many wonderful talents that God has given you and saying, Lord, it may not be much, but if you can use anything, you can use me. And finally, We have been given the gift of time, of our calendar. Are you the one who gets frustrated when your calendar is interrupted? When someone in need calls you? Are you afraid of giving something up, of giving up anything for the sake of the mission of God in this world? And how are you using all of your time and looking at all of your time saying, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me? We have been given much, haven't we? And the calling before us that we are so excited to unveil tonight, which is to seek to know Christ and join him on mission in our local and global neighborhoods, is going to require every single one of us. You see, if you are breathing, the mission at hand is for you. And so I ask you then, where will you stand? If you have a sign, I want to invite you to come and stand on both sides of me. You see, more than ever, the church is in mission mode. And we have been called to join Christ on mission and to participate in this mission. And I want to ask you to ask yourself very honestly, where are you holding back? Where are you holding back? It's okay. Take a look at each one for a moment. Invite the Spirit into your heart. You see, as we join Christ on mission, no longer can it work for us to be a church that stands on the sidelines and waits for staff and pastors to do it all. And one of the beautiful things about this church is it's in our DNA to get involved. It is in our DNA to join Christ on mission. But could it be that God is pushing us and stretching us to take it even further, to steward the gifts even more and saying, Lord God, if you can use anything, you can use what you have given us. It takes every single one of us to be conduits of blessing. You see, on Saturday mornings, we have been having so much fun watching our boys play t-ball. It is a blast and hysterical at times. Last week, when Noah hit the ball, instead of running to first base, he started running towards a baseball mound. And then when everybody started yelling at him and telling him to turn around, he started running back to home base. And then we just kept telling him, Noah, run the other way. And there's another moment where there's a little boy in the outfield. Our mother-in-law snapped a picture of him because it was so hilarious and adorable. As it was game time and he was there in the outfield, he was laying on his back, looking up at the clouds. And we have a picture of Noah picking up dirt and running it through his baseball glove. And it is totally adorable and appropriate to watch a T-ball child, 4-year-old, laying there on the field. And as parents, you almost hope for stuff like that to happen. But once you get to the big leagues, could you imagine? Ben Zobrist, out there in the outfield. I don't know what position he plays, if he's an outfielder or not. Out there in the outfield for the Cubs, looking up at the clouds during the World Series game. I'm not sure how cute people would think that is. And you see, there comes a time as we grow as a church, we are in the big leagues. The mission at hand is more critical than ever. The world is changing. The sand, the shores all around us are shifting, and we have been given much. And so how are we going to use this collectively, individually, and say, Lord, if you can use anything, use this. And so for us, as we enter into this next phase of living the mission in 2017, we are asked to look at all of it and first take a bold leap of faith. A bold leap of faith. God might be calling you to engage on a deeper level with your time, with your talents, and with your treasures. And perhaps up until now, you have been holding back because you maybe have been unaware, or you have been afraid, or you have been scared, and you've not been able to fully see the impact. So how are you first going to take a bold leap of faith? Number two, God is asking us to live lives of radical sacrifice, of radical sacrifice. Chip Ingram writes, God measures generosity not by the size of the gift, but by the size of the sacrifice and the depth of obedience. It's not by the size of the gift with our time, talent, and treasures, but by the size of sacrifice and the depth of obedience. And number three, this mission requires us to totally surrender to the ways of God. You see, there is a difference between mere involvement. There is a difference between mere participation. There is a difference between that and totally surrendering and looking at all of our lives and realizing that the very purpose that we were put on this earth is to join Christ on mission and to participate in mission. So we must be a church and a people known for, number one, lives of radical sacrifice. Number two, a bold leap of faith. And number three, total surrender to God. Because living this mission requires us to look at all the resource and all the goodness that God has given us and say, who can we bless? How can we serve? How can we give? How can we get involved? How are you using the blessings of God to join Christ on mission? Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks for your faithfulness. We surrender. We surrender all to you. Have your way in our hearts. Where there are heart issues and strongholds, may they be broken free this morning. Your way, Lord. Empower us and embolden us to not bury our treasures, but to take them and use them as conduits of blessing in this world. In your name we pray.